Okay, good evening. Tomorrow, while it's going on with base, we're just going to close up with this, the Rambam. A couple of Nekudas though, just a couple of Nekudas. Number one, I remember now, yeah. Number one, just further to this thing of the aeroplane, we were discussing it, right? We discussed yesterday about getting off an aeroplane. So the problem being that an aeroplane, although it's Lamala Me'asara, but since you've travelled more than your base mil, so on the face of it, it should be a problem, it should be a shayla of Sofi Deraita, in which case, you should have to go to the Chumra. The only start to be matter is the fact that it's always moving when Shabbos comes in. So in which case, if it's moving when Shabbos comes in, so you will never go in a Shavisa. The problem is, but you've got the machlokes in the Bi'alocha there. Well, he points out that according to the Rashba and the Rambam, yeah, Kozman, you're moving, you're not Kenesh Visa. But from the Shulchan Aruch, it's Mashmah, even when you're moving, you should be able to be Kenesh Visa. So to that, the Sitz Eliezer in Chedekal Simon Chafalov, he says, well, not in the case of an aeroplane, because the whole Svara to say that, the whole svara to say that that you're kona shvisa when it is
not moving.
When it's moving, is because it's the water is moving underneath. He wants to say they're stuck in a ship. We questioned that yesterday based on the aerodynamics of a plane, whether that should be. You say the same with the air. Okay, that's what he wanted to say. I would just point out one other thing, and that's what we questioned yesterday, and I had a little bit of a look around since then, and that is the question of whether it's so poshut that lamalo, when I was in a plane, you travel in a plane 12 mil, is that so poshut that it's a shayla of a deraisa? Because we said that the Rambam says, if a person traveling on a ship, you're going on the water, so the water is not zemel digale midbar, and therefore, since it's not zemel digale midbar, therefore,
can't be deraisa.
Can't be a deraisa, correct? So we said, well, by the same token, if you're flying 40,000 feet up in the sky, it can't be zemel digale midbar. Just because you're flying over land, so what? Right? Yeah? So, Lemaisa, I think maybe there's quite a possible right to this, because let me quote to you again, just from the Mechaber there. The Mechaber said in Siman Tov Tavet, this is the same in the Rambam, you find in the Rambam. The Rambam says as well, Hamahari chutzla tchum l'mam na'al, so it's walking with crossing is above 10 tfotim, shekofat al gabi amudim. He jumps on top of Amudim, which are 10 tefachim high, and each one's not, etc., etc. Why didn't he quote the case of the person who jumps using the Shem Hashem? Doesn't quote that. The Rambam doesn't quote it. The Ramah does. The Ramah goes on and he says, because the Mechaber says, what's that lot if you go above 10? It's a tefachim, but the Rabbonon, yeah, tefachim lahokim. And the Rabbonon, it would be a Sofi Elohim, says the Ramah. Mira Evim, Oya Hidich Bederech there. If he was going on this Derech, Oya Lidei Kefita Shem, he adds in, Oya Lidei Kefita Shem. Shom is Hilchid Beis Mil, Chos Yud Beis Mil, and he goes outside of Yud Beis Mil, then, Ozmin Lamanda Oma, etc. Then we go to Chumma. According to the Manda Oma, who says the Yud Beis Mil is there right. Why does the Mechaber not quote the thing of going Al Yudei Shem? Why?
It's not the same as the Yudei.
And therefore?
That's
what I wanted to say. I wanted to say that the whole reason why we're quoting this is because the Rambam was coming to say, what's the final halacha? Yeah, of course it's a shayla. It's a shayla whether you go on the Amudim or whether you go by Shem. It says the Rambam, since la halacha we pasken, it's a sofek. So there is no nafka mina legabe the case or kafit tashen. You're always going to go to kula, aren't you? Because sofek the rabbanon the kula. Aye, but your base mil. What's your base mil? It doesn't matter. You're jumping above. You're going through the air, traveling through the air. That's not similar to the digre midbar.
Now, Amudim is similar to Digna Midbar?
Yeah.
Where was an example of Amudim?
It doesn't matter. That's where you're traveling on solid ground. In that sense, it's similar to Digna Midbar. That's all we need.
You could be jumping from one wagon to the next.
Yeah. Were the wagons 10 to fucking high?
Were the wagons 10 to fucking high? Yeah, we said they were.
Yes.
But they'd be too wide for that. But okay, you don't have to come on to that. In fact, it's solid ground. So that's why he doesn't quote it. So there you go. It's a ride to what we're saying.
So why would they be too wide? The Amudim are 4x4. So why would the wagons?
Wagons would be way too wide to be a shayla.
Oh, I see.
I mean, be also there, whichever way you want to look at it.
I mean, the Amudim are so far as you came, the wagons. Yeah.
And they're moving, and the whole side of where the moving things are included in there.
Okay.
So that's are you going to tell me, but what about the Ramad? The Ramad does include it, and he says black and white. Leman da oma yud beis midah deraisa, then you have to mark me even with kvitsa bashem. So to that we can say one of two things. Either you can say, okay, fine, the Ramad, it's a makhlik's Ramad machaber. According to the Ramad, you're right, you look at it the way everyone I've seen quoted, that's the way they learned it, they took on as a poshut. You're flying in the air, it's nothing to do with where you are in the air, here, there, it's you're going over dry land. In that sense, it's Domele Digere Midbar. When you're going in water, that's not Domele Digere Midbar. It doesn't make a difference. It's a little bit similar, by the way, I would say, it's a little bit similar to if a person goes on a plane. Yeah? If you go on a plane and you fly from here to Scotland, do you say, Berkas HaGomer?
You haven't gone over any water.
So many poskim hold, no, you don't. But that's because they understand, they take on the whole reason why you're going to be staying in Berkas HaGomer when you go fly overseas is because it's no different to going, it's going on the ship. The waters, you're going over waters. That's a mokum sakana. Right? There's no difference whether you're 40,000 feet up or you're down here. It's to do, if you're going over dry land. So, if you were driving the road, would you say, no, so it's not Mokum Sakana. La Niyastati, and that's the way the Moshe Feinstein, I believe, if you remember, we explained it. We explained, well, Beth, then why are you saying Berkas HaGomer today when you go on a ship? How often are they buying Barsha? Today they're probably safer than driving on the road, so.
So, plane,
yeah. You're right, plane as well. The terror is, because it's to do with the mokum sakon. You have to understand, nothing has changed. The difference is that since natural science and technology has developed, so therefore it's no longer innate if a person goes from one side of the ocean to the other and everything goes, excuse the pun, smooth sailing, right? Everything goes easily, yeah? So therefore, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't perform openness. Amol, once upon a time when they were going across the seas, it was clear, it was basically a 50-50 whether a person would survive. They only did it when they really had to, for business purposes and things like that. As you can see from the story with the Rambam's brother, he died, right? The Rambam was broken for the rest of his life, right? You didn't do it. It's a mokum sakana. That hasn't changed. And therefore, the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Berot Chasodov, he's performing, quote-unquote, nissim day in, day out, it's not turned nissim because we don't see. Because no longer we take it for granted, correct? So therefore, you don't need tremendous sechuyas to merit that quote unquote nis. Doesn't mean you don't make a block on it. Let me ask you. So that answer. Sorry, I'm going from one thing to the other. When it comes to driving the road, people say, yeah, but that's much more dangerous, right? Nothing to do with the car. If the road, but etam amokim sakon, I'm not talking about amokim sakon if you've got crazy driving, you've got people on there riding, you know, their scooters. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, is the road, solid ground, down here, is it amokim sakon? The answer is no. A midbar is. The fact that today you've got communication systems that it's amokim sakon. The midbar is amokim sakon. If a person, communications were cut off, and a person was alone in the midbar, things went wrong, bad news, right? It's a mokum sakona. So, that's what Ramosha says. If a person's flying 40,000 feet up in the sky. So you heard statistically, Baruch Hashem, everything's going smooth. Ask yourself the following question. If, we should never know such things, but there have been stories on this, right? Suddenly, there was a malfunction. 40,000 feet up there. Is it a Mokum Sakon or not?
At that point?
Is 40,000 feet suspended in midair?
No, with a malfunction, it's a Mokum. Without.
It shows it's a Mokum Sakon.
No.
It's only because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is an infinite chesed has allowed such technology to cover up these nisim that allow us to fly at 40,000 feet. But Etzem is a Mokum Sakon, it says Ramosha, I'll prove it to you. Because if anything goes wrong, there's not a chance in the world the person's going to survive. Mm-hmm. On dry land, something goes wrong, okay. The car will stop. It's not a Mokum Sakon. In the middle of the sea, if something goes wrong, it's a Mokum Sakon. In the middle of a desert, if something goes wrong, it's a Mokum Sakon. Yeah?
But we don't say going by the you're not going over the sea.
And Ramosha, I believe, holds you do. The reason why you don't say when you go overseas why are you saying Mokum Sakon when you go on a plane? The answer is because apparently you're going on a ship. You're going on a flying ship. That's the fault. To me, it's posher. I don't understand what that means. You're not going on a ship.
But it's not. No one would get on a plane. Without, if it was a Mokum Sakon, no one would bother. Would no one ever get on a plane?
Of course they would.
Why?
Because again, Shem Pesoyim. Once HaKadosh Baruch Hu performs these nisim day in day out, so therefore there's no reason to assume that anything's going to go wrong. But is the Mokum a Mokum Sakon? The answer is yes. As long as it's a promotion. The Kitzur, what I'm trying to say is like this. It's very similar. It's a very similar sort of debate over here. The guy who is going, jumping, using the Shem HaShem, and he's flying through the air, but it's over ground. So you can debate. Do you say that's Demeter Digne Mizor? Because the fact is, it's to do with ground versus water. Water is not Demeter Digne Mizor, ground is. I don't care how high up you are relative to the ground. Or do you say no, the Demeter Digne Mizor is because you don't walk in midair. The Digne Mizor didn't go in midair, they didn't jump through the air like that. And therefore that's all Swara to say in the water, it's not Demeter Digne Mizor. By the way, the Swara about Demeter Digne Mizor, they say to bring, I think, a rational effect. No one agrees with it. Okay, but that's the way he seems to be passing. That's one possibility why maybe the Ramal disagrees. He says, soft, if you're going over dry land, therefore it's Demeter Digne Mizor, in which case it will be totally on a Machlokes. There is another possibility, and that is, it's a little bit similar to something you wanted to say it's to do with, because the deal is to do with the Demeter Digne Mizor, is because you're walking, you're using your feet. So here, you're sort of jumping. I wouldn't have necessarily come on to the fact that you're using your feet. The thought is, in the case of Kfitzer, may depend on how exactly you're doing this. It's not necessarily pshat that you jump using a Shem HaShem and then you go flying for thousands of miles. It means the person is able to jump. Normally speaking, can you jump above 10 tefachim?
No.
You've got to get your feet right up. I mean, if you do you do a bit of exercise and you jump in.
Some people Olympic person, mate.
I probably could, but not for thousands of miles.
No. And
doing it sort of long distances. But the excellent idea of kvitzah is it could be kvitzah. It's not to say flying. It means you jump, right? You jump and I was trying to remember the mita. I couldn't find it afterwards. There's something to do with, I just don't remember. Rabbi Kvieger had a, I don't know, it was a grandson, he had, it's called Rabbi Leibele Eger. And he went, so to speak, as far as, if you call, Rabbi Kvieger would call it, off the derech, he became Chassidish, right? So he went that way. No, he was Rebbe Eger was the Gaon as well. And he answered the question. There was something to do with Tuchunin, right? There's something to do with you're going for a Dvar Mitzvah, right? But how can the Dvar Mitzvah override the Issa of Tuchunin? It could be to do with the Gemara. I don't know what the Kasha was. So Rebbe Eger said to Rebbe Eger, he said, it's Nishkin, he said it, but he said it in Yiddish, but he said, it's not a kasha. He says, because when you go to do a mitzvah, yeah, mishplingen, right, a person, you jump. And therefore you're going to Ma'alam Yasara, right? It's like in true Hasidish style, right? You go, you jump to do the mitzvah, you do it with it's Lahavas, and therefore you're going to Ma'alam Yasara. That was his pashat. Okay, so It could well be, as I said, maybe yes, maybe not. There is, by the way, one other nekuda as well to bear in mind. Remember, you remember the Bi'ah Halacha we talked about, what happens if you go through a Karmelis? You go to your base mill, but through a Karmelis. So he took on as a double portion. No, Karmelis, when we say Karmelis, it's a mitzvah. We're not learning out whether it was Rosh Hashanah versus Karmelis. It's already, it's enough of the Chiddush where you rule out water, yeah? It's dafka the water. But Amaisi, if you look at the Tshuva, the Rambam, I think is pretty clear, no, it's a water in Karmelis. Okay, you've got a kasha on it, yeah? We answer that kasha, we answer this, it's a Machlokes Rambam, and Rambam, fine. The main nekuda though is if you say that, you could say, maybe yes, maybe not again, but the idea of if you fly through the air but above dry land, is that, do we learn that out from the Digilei Midbar or not? It could be totally on this Machlokes, whether you learn out Karmelis from the Digilei Midbar. In other words, how far do you take this limud, it's got to be determined in the Digilei Midbar. Is it dafka with something like water versus dry land? That's as far as we take it. Or do you take it all the way, in which case, who are then? It's got to be Rosh Hashanah, not a Karmelis. In a similar sort of sense, over here, when we say you're flying through the air, okay, now I'm going over dry land. If Karmelis is included in the Issadol Isa, so too, flying through the air, above dry land, it could be it's included in it. If, however, you learn it quite literally from Digilei Midbar, so it rules out any flying through the air, or Karmelis, therefore it will rule out the other one. Because so what I'm showing you is there is a possibility, maybe yes, maybe not, but it could, that's perhaps another tzad to be makel when it comes to a person who comes flying in on a plane. And the plane, it happens to people, right? The plane, there were delays and it was circling for quite a while, and by the time it landed, it was already Shabbos. And it's gone outside, it came back in, your base mill, now what? Can the person get off the plane? Right? And the answer is going to be, well, if you're within the city anyway, you're going to be all right. But if you're not within the city, if the runway is outside of the city, yeah, that's when you're going to get into trouble. I mean, the actual runway itself is not going to be your base mill, because when it does hit the floor, right, when it hits the floor, does that make any difference?
It's still moving.
I know it's still moving, yeah. That sphora you have, on the other hand.
You're not mad at me, I saw it talking.
Correct, but the Yud Beis Mil part, I'm going to say it's not going to be negated to the Raisa, so in which case at that point it should be alright. If it's tougher when Yud Beis Mil, then you may be into, you're back to the shadow of things like trains and things like which the Chasam Sefer said to be machna on. But, because there you don't have as much of a sword. Okay, fine, that's basically what comes out. So we've shown various spores, and therefore, don't do it, but if a person did get stuck like that, they would be able, generally speaking, they should be able to get off the plane. And if you're planning on going on Elon Musk's things to space, you'd be able, I'm assuming it gets you to the moon, you should be able to get out of the space module, whatever you call it, onto the moon. Just don't take any pictures.
I'll definitely finish going with it if I
do that. Why?
Because the moon, the moon, the moon is,
I assure you they would have done many
the moon is
going to be going. The answer is the Mokum Sakana. If the thingy pack goes, if the oxygen pack goes, whatever goes wrong, the guys are, you know, gone.
No, it's known as a sea, isn't it? It's a water. It's wet. It's water. The moon is meant to be a planet. Oh, there's plenty of water on the moon.
There's not water there. It's not a.
Yeah.
I'll lend you my
it's a midbar.
Telescope.
It's definitely a midbar.
Can I have a look?
Huh? It's definitely a midbar.
There was an airliner that had some fault and landed on the Hudson River.
So yes, I remember that, yeah.
But it can land.
Now, I decided not to try and be funny when we talked about, because I don't think it's very funny, but when we talked about landing, so we talked about the plane being the Mala Me'asora. I'll tell you what came to mind, I decided not to say it because we don't wish such things, as if there's a failure, even without the crash landing like that, if the wheels don't come out, they would have to do a, you know, landing directly on the thing, in which case then you don't have the Mala Me'asora. From where the person is, maybe, but I don't think a person's going to be thinking about that at that stage. The first thing is get off the plane because of the it's absolutely pikuach nefesh. I mean, it's they will get people off as quickly as possible. No one's hanging about there. So yeah, okay. That was one nekuda. Not a nekuda. I'll tell you something. I saw today, and a further addendum, if you want, to this thing about Eliyahu, right? When he's a malach and all of that. So my rebbe, who's my rebbe, the Ben Ishchai, right? The Ben Ishchai, there's a couple of very interesting teshuvos, and there's one in it's what Hoyd Yosef is called. Basically, he wrote for one of these Torah, you know, the what do they call them? Torah journals. There's a famous one called Hama Asi. Maybe in the top Reish Samach Zayin. It was all the way back. He wrote the Alfons writes a piece. He wrote a piece that he darshan on his father's Yom Tov and Zayin Elul was it? And he brought a chakira. This is not no jokes here. This is the Nachalas Binyamin. He brings from the Nachalas Binyamin, and he says he was trying to work out. It's a shame I didn't see this before Shavuos. How could Moshe Rabbeinu come down? It's your sort of question. How could he come down? How did he come back down to Har Sinai? You know, he went up. How did he come down from Shammai? Whatever it is. How, what about Issa Tchumen? So what? Assuming, depending on how you measure it. But one second.
No,
if you say Tchumen Amal Me'asoro, how come Moshe Rabbeinu come down? The Torah was given on Shabbos.
God created the Torah. He could tell you to change the Torah.
Okay, so he asked another question. How can a person die on Shabbos? And the Shabbos going up to Shammai. I'm not joking, it's what you are. If I come to Shammai and die on Shabbos, don't tell me, if I'm Eisim Chopshi, because when a person's dead, they're free of all the mitzvahs. He says, absolutely not. He says, a person is free of mitzvahs, that means the good, not the Neshama. The Neshama's not allowed to do any Yisur. May not be Mechuv to Daven and things like that, but Lo Yisati, absolutely not. The Neshama can't go outside of the Tchum. So he asked, in all seriousness, David HaMelech died on Shabbos. Huh? So the Ben Ishchai says, you know what, I'll ask you an even simpler question. We don't have to talk about Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech, let's talk about ourselves. When you go to sleep, what happens to you on the Shabbat?
Shabbat
also goes to Mala.
How can you sleep on Shabbat?
Huh?
Has not allowed to sleep on Shabbat?
No. He brings the Arizal, he brings the story from the, he says, brings the mice from the Arizal. Arizal went to sleep on Shabbos. When he woke up during the day, when he woke up, he related, you know, his neshama went up, and he was offered the choice of which shir to go to. It wasn't a choice between going to Meir Ponovich, you know, this is a choice if you want to go to the shir of Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, or, I don't remember the third one.
Oh, it's an easy answer.
And
he chose
the
easy
answer.
Easy answer.
What, which shir to go to?
No, the neshama.
Not which football game?
No, the neshama, I think I've cracked it.
Go on. I actually have an interesting answer, but go on.
And the neshama never stops moving.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted to say. Oh. Okay. It's constantly on the move.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Based on what we said. You don't stop. Okay.
Yeah, but you're not allowed to go out carrying something, knowing that you're carrying, to go out thinking, well, I'll be okay because I'll be moving the whole time. So you can't go, you can't...
No, but the water is like this, because the person's not an owner. There is no such thing. A person is never, ever, ever stationary. Because man is alive. Because in a shomba, every moment, even if a person's not doing anything, he's either going down or he's going up. What do you mean? I mean, I understand it. It doesn't mean your body. It means you're in a shomba. You're either doing something positive, in which case you've got your shomba's going up.
Yeah, it's on the.
The shomba is always, you know, when we talk about ADHD, believe me, the shomba is so full of energy, right? It doesn't sit still. Okay, that's what I thought as well, but that's not what he answers. He answers very interesting. You love this one. Lechu lachamu velachmi, says the Pasuk in Mishlei. Torah is referred to as lechem. Right? Says the Nachalas Binyamin. There's an eruv. Well, how do you make an eruv? With lechem. Well, since this is food for the neshama, it's got to be lechem, which is roi for the neshama. What's the food for the neshama?
Torah.
Ashrei simine dorech, he says. Oh, the simine dorech, the neshama, which is constantly going from Shamayim to Oreth. But what about on Shabbos? Ha-hemechim b'seyas? Hashem. It's because of the Erev is set up. So the Erev is going to be a hot
Torah. Only on Shabbos is the Erev.
I understand that, because first of all, we were talking about the 12 mil we're talking about, that's for
no. Yeah, this is, makes it all into one big hot set. You're allowed to travel in inside the Rosh Hashanah. I think that's what he means. I know, I was wondering the same thing. I think that's what he means. He's talking about it makes it into it's like an Erev Chatzir. It's not an Erev Tchumen. Erev Tchumen, Pashtus doesn't help you further your mitzvah. Yeah. Right. So it's the idea that, I think it's what he does. And the Benishchai is beautiful. He goes through Posik after Posik. He goes through Taichung with this. There's no time for that. I can't remember all the Pesukim and Kofi of the Test. But that I gave you one. Ashrei Yitzchak Midor HaKadosh and B'Tzeras Hashem. Then he asks another question. And he says, you know, Tirnusrafus asked, who was it, Rabbi Akiva? Well, the father was the Yah, I think it was Rabbi Akiva he asked. He said, how can God make it rain on Shabbos? The rain is going outside, you know, it's Alt Malacha, I think it's Alt Tachumi, I think. And Rabbi Akiva gave him an answer, right? He says, I can't remember now what the discussion was there. See, that's what Tunus was supposed to answer Rabbi Akiva.
On the reason, why can't he do it on Shabbos? For what reason? What was the reason?
I think he was asking Al Tuchum, if I remember correctly. I think Al Tuchum.
Who's Tuchum?
Well, he's taking the rain outside of his Tuchum. He's sending it outside of his rain.
What's the rain? Who's Tuchum? What are we talking about?
The rain.
Rain's in not a thing. Yeah, because it belongs to somebody.
Belongs to Hashem. Fine. So then he says the Nachas Ben Yonin. Right? This is Torah, so we got it. Torah applies to everything. Don't think it's he says, but what you haven't answered this though. But what about making the plants grow? How can Hashem make plants grow on Shabbos?
But they're growing anyway.
One second, they only grow because Hashem is providing them with Shefa.
They're growing during the time the rain is not there as well.
I'm not talking about the rain, I'm talking about the real thing. Hashem is the one who makes them rain. Right?
Not Teva, it's Hashem is a Teva.
So he answers like this. He says, let me ask you a question. Are you allowed to turn on your water sprinkler before Shabbos and leave it running on Shabbos?
Yes.
And the answer is, in the first Mishnah, absolutely. Right? Poschen, Mayim, Begina, you can leave it going. And that's the base of that mission. There's all the things you can start before Shabbos, etc. So he definitely says, a bit like you're saying, he says, even though we see Amachadish, Betuva, Becholim, Tomit, Abarash, Prophets constantly winning everything and taking lessons, he says, from a different Bechina, Hashem is providing the Shefa, and it's now not running on its own, but Hashem has, as it were, pre programmed it. Right? So he's giving the. So therefore he says, that shouldn't be a problem. Or he runs into one problem. And he says, but, and this is what's Negev Eliyahu. He says, one second, but what about the Medrash and the Zayah that says, Ein lecha kol esev, you don't have a single esev or tree or anything like that in the world, a single blade of grass that doesn't have a malach standing over it and telling it to grow.
Hitting it and telling it to grow.
He says, how can a malach do that on Shabbos? And that he's more or less stumped on. Dr. Baruch, what's the answer to that one? How can the malach make the grass grow? So the only thing he comes up with is, he says, no, maybe a malach. Maybe a malach is not subject to the halach of Shmir Shabbos.
He does, but the shalich HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so
he can't say
the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu.
What do you mean down here? He says the Ben Ish Chai, he's got a whole back and forth about the water thing, when it does prevent the Rabbi Kibbeh about, you know, with starting a kinyan before Shabbos. If you start a kinyan before Shabbos, which will be completed on Shabbos, he's got a whole thing, so what we do allow, what we don't. But put that to the side. He says, I disagree though. So the Ben Ish Chai, I disagree with him on that point. He says, a malach, 100% is poshut. A malach is mechuyot in Shmira Shabbos. If he's in this world, he has to keep Shabbos. Poshut him.
Even Hashem is keeping Shabbos.
Huh?
Even Hashem is Shabbos.
If you're in this world, you have to keep. You don't have to make kiddush. You don't have to do the asays. Fine. But to be over on Allah, says no way. He says, why is it any different to what he took on as a dog of poshut that the neshama is subject to the halachos, so to chumen and all of that?
But there's mesiris.
Then he asks one thing. He says, no. What about Eliyahu? And he brings a couple of rites from Eliyahu. The Gemara involved in the seal. It's mavuah. If Eliyahu is a kohen, he's not allowed to serve his hakavodos. Eliyahu is a malach. What about the Gemara that when this Gemara that Eliyahu would be subject to all the Tchumen? Baruch the Tchumen, Ayin HaMaloch. So to that he says, no, maybe it's the difference whether the Maloch is just a Maloch or whether the Maloch goes back into a Gup. But he says, nonetheless, it's still posher to me. I don't really, he says, it's posher to me. So therefore he ends up and he says, the answer is, Dr. Baruch, Are you allowed to next time you're learning Sefer Yetzirah?
Are you allowed one?
When you're learning Sefer Yetzirah next time, right? Are you allowed to create a human being? The Gemara talks about Tiltah and things like that. Gemara's about it, yeah? Mm-hmm. He's still on Erev Shabbos. Are you allowed to do it on Shabbos? Right? On Shabbos, there's only 9 people. You need the 10th person for the minyan. So Dr. Farah says, no problem, he gets out his Sefer Yetzirah and he creates his, the famous Chacham Tzvi. Can a Golem be a Maharal? Where does Maharal go? It's Sefer Yetzirah. If a person creates a human being with Sefer Yetzirah, would it be misdirected to the minyan? Famous Chacham Tzvi. It's brought in Shulchan Aruch, you know that.
But he did do that.
Not in the Shulchan Aruch itself. The
Golem.
For a minyan. He did it for a minyan.
Or the Elder Name. It's one of those. We don't know whether it's true or it's not true, but anyway.
So what's the answer?
I didn't go through the rest of it. I just wanted what the Ben Ishchai said. He brings it from it was a Ruchan philology. He's done on it. Whether you can, you can't. But he basically says, and that's what he's busy. He's going to prove. Well, I didn't go through all the his writers, but he basically shows that if you do something, you do a melacha, but it's through spiritual. You want to call it hocus pocus, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. That's not included in the Issa Melacha on Shabbos. So therefore, if you are making the grass grow by these spiritual means, however, that's not considered melacha. You bring the base on a sugya to do with menachi, bringing the things together. That's what he writes in that piece there. But now there's something else. There's something called Shut Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma was the teshuvas were all signed off by somebody called Yechezkel Kachari. And they realized eventually, more recently ish, that was just a.
It was Ben Ishchai himself. It was the Shem Ben Ishchai himself, no?
For the Ben Ishchai.
Yeah.
So they say.
They wrote many things.
They
many
say
things,
that it's not. It's yeah, notice. Yechezkel, I think, is Gematria of his name. And there's really Kol Chai to do. It worked, has to do with Yosef. It was him. They say it from the start as well. And in this Teshuvah, he was asked. I want to know, Eliyahu, when he comes into this world, is he mechuyav to daven?
For the brit, no.
No, whatever it is, when he comes into his body, when he comes here, is he mechuyav to daven? Is he mitzaref to minyan?
100% yes.
Mitzaref, yes.
The Rav just said that.
He could be mitzaref to
minyan. No, I didn't say that.
But the Rav just said that.
I didn't say that.
He could be mitzaref
to minyan. He said he died. He
didn't say that. Listen carefully to what I said.
The story of the Hidah, that he got stuck. And he was part of the minyan.
Sefer Ben Ishchai, 100% not.
No.
No, definitely not.
So how did he start with the Hidah?
I'll tell you what Ben Ishchai said. Mm. And he says his raya is, I'll tell you what he's, and see what you think of this raya. You know the Gemara in Pesachim? The Gemara in Pesachim says, you know this is the din of Tumas Hatoin, you have to know this. Especially the Kohen, you have to know these halachas. Tumas Hatoin, which means if there's a Tumah, the midrash says on the Pe'adot, he says Tumas Hatoin means there's a Tumah that no one in the entire world knows about. Buried all the way down there. The halacha is, the halacha of Meshem Sinai, the God says things, you call them Pesach and Moshe, what does it say with those other Fridays? It says, no problem, right?
That's why they put
you don't have to worry about it. The Chalak, you don't have to worry about it.
What do you mean, no? This is why they put the children on top of the animal, so they'll be because of the.
They all sit over there, it's discussed over there. It's discussed. But Tumas Hatoin, when no one knows about it,
except.
No, except. Afiruch chat yer echol b'seif ha'olam heke boy, that's not Tumas Hatoin. There's no hetter. Says the Ben Ishchai, what do you mean? Eliyahu would always know about it. So when Eliyahu comes, are you telling me, this is what he said. You said, are you telling me when Eliyahu comes, when various Gemaras, when he's in this world and is learning with people and things like that?
Yeah, Arabi, things like that.
Are you telling me that he's not, that all the halachos of Tumas Hatoin don't apply? I'll be honest with you, I didn't really understand the raya. Okay, they don't apply. How often does he come here?
Becoming a human body?
Yeah, he's often visiting certain.
So the first obviously revealing something we didn't know, and it goes on Rousey Avenue, right? In his body, outside of his body. Okay. You see, therefore he takes on that. And the answer to your question is, you didn't work with that, like I said. I'm not talking about Loisar says. Loisamse, what comes out according to the Ben Ishchai is the following. He says, when you're talking about an Isser, your neshama cannot do any Isser, so long as it's in this world. Isser, right? Love. A Malach, whether he's inside the body, not inside the body, and yo, he cannot do any Isser. But when it comes to Mitzvah Sarsay, just like a neshama is not mechiv in Mitzvah Sarsay, so to Eliyahu, when he's inside the body, right, he's been walking around him, he's not mechuyah, but in his mitzvahs, he's a malach gomor, not like this different to the Chasam Sefer. And therefore, that toxin is somebody who knows where the Tumah is, and he would not be mitzvahed to a minyan, so don't get any ideas, etc. I'll just conclude this. I haven't actually, this part of it, okay, is with the following. You know, you've talked about, Dr. Farris seems to say that there are plenty of people that have seen Eliyahu and things like that, right?
Yeah, they had a conversation. You read them in Minor Shel Torah about these Gedolim.
I'll tell you something this is how I started. I saw it in this one. I haven't managed to finish this, but it's taka fascinating. They say, who's they? I'm trying to know which god that it was. Maybe the Ben Ishchai. Ben Ishchai? It may have been the Ben Ishchai. I can't remember. But I'm saying a Gobel who is reputable, who says that there is a fundamental difference between the Moshul, what somebody like the Arizal was doing for two. Yeah? Because Arizal is very clear. He had that the old king taught him all the secrets of Torah. That's very clear. Reb Chaim Vital quotes it. He says that was as Dr. Fidus is talking about.
Yeah.
He saw him, as it were, face to face. All these other stories of Gideon, you know, I don't know how this squares with the story with the Reb Chaim, I don't know. He said, he's talking about the Rishash, right? The Rishash is, in the Mekubonim, the Rishash is, he says, but he believes the Rishash did not, no one, we're not talking about in our times, anyone who has been Zerches, or something like the Arizal had, that's the people like the Ramban, the Yechide Askula. He says there it's more of a like what he calls Ein Seichel. He sees him with the Seichel, intellectual, some sort of whatever you want to call it. It can't be described in physical terms. So all these stories you read, I don't know how that squares. I have to double check. I believe it's the Ben Ishchai who says that. I tell you why, it's very, very significant. I saw the question. I leave you to think about this question. Then they discuss this. Then when it comes to halacha. You know, there's very often there's a big snagdus. What do you do if you've got a contradiction, Dr. Fryer, between Nigla, you know, the Shulchanov says one thing, but Arizal says differently? You tell us. Probably depends on whether you follow Rav Avadia, who is very sharp about Rav Avadia. You follow Moshe and Shulchanov. And therefore, all these people in Bar Sus in the morning are wearing their two pairs of tefillin, etc. Yeah, yeah. Absolutely not the Rav Avadia. Yeah, no, because the Shulchanov is very clear, not so. If you ask Rabbi Yaakov Hillel, however, you're probably in yeshiva, isn't it? No? Right, he has visitors here, I think, when he was here. I remember my father, when he was there. He was definitely in yeshiva with him. You know, from yeshiva days. He's one of the biggest mukubonim in the world, for sure, right? Originally from Manchester. Yeah? And he wrote, I think he's about 30 years old, he wrote a conscious about the importance of wearing two pairs of tefillin. And his thing is very stark, no, the halacha goes with Arizal. Now one of the big questions is, but hold on a second. If the Arizal was taught the Torah by Eliyahu when he came down, as a malach now we're saying, which is what the Ben Ishchai is taking on, well, Torah lev ha-shamayim he. Right? Torah lev ha-shamayim he. You know, there's a whole sefer called Shutz Min HaShemayim. You've ever heard that one? It's not necessarily about that thing. I can show it to you if you want. And there's all these shailas where the Mechaber of the sefer Shutz Min HaShemayim, he asked Bachalim. Some of these things you probably actually know of the shailas. The answers were given by Bachalim. He went up in a Chalim and he asked in Shemayim. And there's Rav Avadia Kedarik has got a very long discussion about it. There's others who have written on it. Do we paskin based on that or not? Do you take that into account when you're paskinning halacha? What do you say, Torah Lev HaShemayim? Okay, just to conclude, and Be'ez Hashem will give the final answer to this tomorrow. Anyone had any answer for the Rambam yet? You got one more day, yeah, on the Nozit.
Right.
Remind you of the Kasha. Okay, giving you one more day now, because you know that we are wrapping up tomorrow with it. Is, how can the Rambam say So the person who makes the Nezer for Nezirus, not, it's not Nezirus, says on the day that Moshiach ben David will come, if he does it on Shabbos,
he doesn't have to.
He can drink wine. Why? Because it's a sophic whether Moshiach could come on Shabbos. And since an Nezirus is made up on such a sophic, the Nezirus is not chal. You missed out the whole Gemara. What's the sophic? He said Moshiach definitely cannot come on Shabbos. Because Eliyahu can't come on Friday.
You said maybe be a Hashanah. We don't know.
Maybe that's part of the answer. I'll give you one thing to think about. Remember the Rambam, he's quite correct. Where did the Rambam get this whole thing from? The Rambam that ends with Hilchos Melachim, we quoted. The Rambam that says, I'm not really sure. Just one of the opinions says that Eliyahu is going to come before Moshiach. Which other opinion have we seen different to that? Where have you ever seen anyone who says different to that? Very nice Beit Ha'ati Shema, that's a nice Chiddush of the. Of based on Rabbi Nassanovich. But where did he have it in Chazal? Where did he take the first Eliyahu may come, may not come beforehand? Where does the Rambam get that from? Quite correct. That is the key to answering the question. Have a think about it. Let's not share. We'll answer that tomorrow.